convening the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on Human Services, Tuesday, July 8th. And we're in, I imagine that the various legislators are all in transition somewhere. I didn't get out of my meeting and didn't get to lunch today until 10 to 1, so I gobbled my sandwich down real quickly. So if I burp, you guys know why. But it's everybody says it's quiet in this building, but for some of us, we're just moving just as fast as we did when we came in. With that, I know we have a couple of grant applications to work on today. And what I will do while I'm waiting for the other legislators to come forward is to go ahead and start the overview on the grant applications, and then when we have a quorum, we will go into a work session on the respective grants. So with that, Cindy, why don't you walk us through the first grant?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the first grant is the Improved Child Welfare Outcomes Through Systems of Care Safe, and the second grant is a Safe Practices Implementation Challenge Grant. We have department individuals to speak to these grants here.
So why don't we, who's here to represent the department and BAM and DAS, why don't you just all come forward? And gosh, we've got a huge audience today. No one to contribute to Rosie and Rosette, who is starving. For the audience, Rosie and Rosette are mascots who are there to remind us about trying to avoid using acronyms. Because when we use acronyms, we're required to contribute to their the fat pig. And at the end of session, the dollars that are collected will go to feed the hungry. And so with that, we can get started. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Margie Lau. I'm the Administrator for Program Performance and Reporting in the Children, Adults, and Families part of the Department of Human Services. And I'm here today to request permission from the committee to apply for a grant from the Department of Health and Human Services Children's Bureau section of the federal government. The grant amount is for $500,000 each year over a five-year period to implement what is called federal systems of care reform as states work on trying to improve their performance from the findings that came out of the Child and Family Services Review that is being done in each state across the country over a four-year period. Oregon was one of the first states to be reviewed using this methodology that the federal government has adopted, and its review was in June of 2001. From the findings that the Children's Bureau sent to us, we then negotiated a program improvement plan where we set benchmark goals of level of improvement that we would achieve for any outcome area where we had not achieved a score of 90% or higher in that federal review. We've been working now for a year on implementing that plan, and this grant will give us an opportunity to further strengthen our efforts, particularly as we work with other agencies outside of the Department of Human Services around areas that we can't improve by ourselves. These would include helping improve the educational attainment for children who are in our care and custody. When children are in foster care, they, like all children, need to flourish in all aspects of their lives as the state becomes their parent. And so their educational needs are perhaps even more critical for them as they experience the challenges of not being able to live with their biological family. So we have a number of issues that we'd like to work on with the Department of Education around this system of care implementation. There are also a number of issues that we need to work on in terms of achieving more timely permanency for the children in our care. And that requires a very close coordination with the Department of Justice and with the Judicial Department, because all of the processes for achieving that permanency have a high level of legal and judicial involvement.
Currently, how much time does it take from the time the determination is made that you're going to go to permanency until the permanency process has been completed?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, it varies depending upon the child's current placement. If the child's current placement has been identified as the permanent placement for that child, that adoption can be finalized within a matter of days if they've already been in that placement resource for 6 months. But if we are still in a process of trying to locate a good, safe, permanent home for that child, that process may take a year or more. And our hope is to streamline our processes so that more of these children, as that termination of parental rights occurs, have already arrived at that destination of what their permanent home is going to be. So it's working on the logistics around that that is one of our key areas for improvement.
What percentage of the terminated cases actually are adopted versus those that may stay into a foster home placement?
Madam Chair, I don't have that number with me today, but I'd be glad to bring that information back to the committee.
You may continue, Monty.
The grant that we are requesting a permission to apply for is a 5-year grant. The first year is really focused on planning. We certainly hope not to spend 12 months in planning, but more like 6 months in planning, and then move more rapidly into implementation, particularly as our timelines are quite short in working with the federal government around improvement. In the Child and Family Services Review, states have 24 months in which to achieve the negotiated goals, and then at the conclusion of that 24 months, the state has to start a self-assessment process, and then the feds come back to do a subsequent review 6 months after that. And at that point, if they find that we've not achieved the negotiated levels and continue to have performance issues, they then can implement penalties for each of the areas where we've not met our negotiated targets. So time is absolutely of the essence, and effective planning is important, but effective acting is even more important. I'd be glad to answer any questions from the committee.
No questions. Pam.
They're trying to read.
Well, they're all trying to read. Or either that or Marjorie, just so she explained everything, that everyone understood it, that we just don't have any questions.
Madam Chair, are we ready?
Well, I can make a
Rifton
comment.
And Westland.
The while Senator Carter reads, she's doing a pretty good job of, you know, convincing us that the
slap him.
No, thanks.
Yeah, don't misunderstand this. I mean, I fully appreciate the application. I fully appreciate the intent of the application. And I'm actually quite pleased it's $500,000 and may extend for a period of up to 5 years. My concern is, and I understand this, and you don't control this, you know, if funds are available. And what I'm concerned about is starting a program, delivering a good service, raising expectations of Oregonians as to service level, and then all of a sudden those funds, not for any fault of your own or our own or whatever, don't materialize. I mean, that's a concern I have with most grant applications, and this one is a considerable amount of money for a given period of time. So that's just, I will make this comment should you come back to eBoard, and express the same concern. I mean, I appreciate the effort that went into it. I appreciate the fact that it looks like we're in line probably to get this. But I just want to make sure that's one of the things we do with grant applications is we create an expectation level of service for Oregonians, provide good services. And then sometimes those funds aren't available, not through any fault of the legislature or the department.
Madam Chair, Representative Westland, we're on the hook for getting this improved performance level, whether we get this grant or not. And we hope that by getting this grant, we'll actually be able to do a better job of serving Oregonians and avert a strong likelihood of future federal penalties. So,
I think he didn't hear the conversation when you mentioned states that do not reach the mark, the federal mark, will be penalized. What I find interesting is that the Children's Bureau has decided to award 10 grants, which tells me to 10 states, and how did, you know, we're expecting to rise to the top. What is it about Oregon that you believe that we would get this grant, and why?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I think we're a strong contender for this grant because we've had the benefit of, as we've worked through our own implementation of systems of care within the state's child welfare agency, of really working out many of the rough spots in the implementation within our system. Our greater challenges have been trying to work with the broader child-serving community that we effectively need to collaborate with in order to improve all aspects for the kids who are in our care and custody. So this grant really gives us that ability to have much stronger partnerships and linkages with the judicial department and with the education service delivery system throughout the state. And we look at that as both a state coordination effort, but also a local implementation challenge as well.
Carter, did you have any questions? Senator Morris?
We're ready for a motion.
I'm going to, because I don't believe that I did put us into work session, so I'm going to now open us up for a work session on the Improved Child Welfare Outcomes Systems of Care grant application request. Representative Smith.
I move that the committee approve the submission of a federal Department of Health and Human Services grant to improve child welfare outcomes through the System of Care grant.
And before I want to add one piece to it, because I'm assuming, Pam, that the department also recommends approval.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, I'm Pam Teschner with the Department of Administrative Services, and yes, we do recommend that you approve.
And Cindy.
Yes, Madam Chair, LFO recommends approval of the grant with the understanding that the agency will come back to the emergency board for position authority or any additional expenditure limitation.
Representative Smith moves that we send to the full committee on Ways and Means the grant with the request for $500,000 from Department of Human Services with the understanding that the agency will come back to get a limitation and position authority. Are there any objections?
No, ma'am.
So,
thank you.
Representative Smith. And we will open a public hearing and work session on Safe Practices Implementation Challenge Grant. Dr. Grant Higginson and George Naughton are here with us, and they're not going to use acronyms.
Yes, they are.
Oh. Did you hear that?
Chair Winters, no, I did not.
Oh.
But you just have a choice between whether you use acronyms or feed rosy.
And Chair Winters, Senator Carter, I believe I'd have the option to do both as well.
Right.
Okay. Chair Winters, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Dr. Grant Higginson, and thank you for the opportunity to present our request to the legislature for permission to apply for a Safe Patient Practices Challenge Grant. The application comes from the Federal Department of Health and Human Services, the Agency on Healthcare Research and Quality. The grant is to improve patient safety, and it's an amount of $200,000 for the first year, with potential implementation funds of $500,000 a year in subsequent years. Yesterday at this committee, we talked a lot about the possible creation of a patient safety corporation and the reporting system that would be in that corporation. One thing that we didn't talk about that's very important to us, though, is that there's a lot of other things that I think we could and should be doing in regards to improving patient safety, and what we're proposing here in this grant, I think, is a really good example. We do know that in the healthcare system there are a number of errors, and a large proportion of those errors are due to medication errors, problems with patients getting the wrong medicine, the wrong dose.
We know that this is a particular concern in long-term care facilities where nursing homes or residential care facilities are dealing with elderly or disabled patients who require oftentimes a lot of medication. And so what this grant would do is it would first pull together groups from nursing homes and from residential care facilities to identify where are those trigger points where medication errors are likely to occur. It then use what's called a probability risk analysis to figure out where are the most likely places and all those trigger points for the actual errors to happen, and then to start working through what can we be doing to prevent those errors from ever happening. So then that all gets pulled into a model. That model then is taken back to the institutions to for validation. Does this make sense? Would this be a useful way for you to look at medication errors in your facilities? And with that work, which would be done in the first year, we then are very hopeful that we would be well prepared to get an implementation grant for the next couple of years. And as I said, that can be up to $500,000. There is a requirement of $200,000 in matching funds, and that would not be a state requirement. We have been working very closely with the Oregon Health Care Association, who represent about 270 nursing homes in the state of Oregon. They have committed to secure the in-kind support of staff that would be participating in this project as the $200,000 required match. As I said, the Oregon Healthcare Association is a co-sponsor with us on this bill. We did ask them if they would want to be the lead agency in applying for this grant, and they said that they just simply did not have the capacity to be able to pull that off and requested that we be the primary applicant. I would also want to mention that the department's unit on senior and people with disabilities has also been involved in this. They are supportive of the grant and clearly would be involved throughout the life of the grant. The bulk of the funding that we would be receiving from the federal government would be going out in the way of contracts to a couple, I think, very qualified contractors that we know of. So we do not expect that we'd be needing any FTE. We learned about the grant in April, notified the legislature on June 26th of our intentions. The due date of the grant is July 5th, and with that I will close. And again, thank you for your consideration, and hopefully you'll be supportive and be happy to answer questions.
Question, since it was due July 5th, have you been in communication with the federal agency that we're a bit delayed?
Chair Wenders, I may have misspoken. It's due July 15th, so we still have time to get it in.
Then we still have time to communicate with the federal agency. Senator Carter.
Does this refer to the safety patient corporation that we discussed on yesterday? Are there any ties?
Chair Winter, Senator Carter, it does not. It is a project that's separate and can run independent of the corporation that we discussed yesterday.
Is there a corollary in terms of systems analysis and trying to see how the system better work? It's just that you have a different funding source than, say, they do in terms of developing an organization.
Chair Wenders, Senator Carter, this is very similar to the work, or at least some of the work, that I would see being done by the Patient Safety Corporation. In fact, if that corporation had been in place, they might have been the ones applying for this grant rather than us. But I see it very, very consistent, but on the other hand, it can be independent and run parallel as well.
Follow up.
Do you think that the data that will come forth from this study will be usable to the state in creating greater opportunity for how we look at our nursing home care and care of other children? Is it institutionalized in that way?
Chair Wenders, Senator Carter, I absolutely do. The idea is to be building this model and then validating it with the institutions that would be using it to show that it really is useful for them to take a look at, you know, where are the specific areas where we might be having problems and what can we be doing to correct that. And once we get there, the plan is to then implement those best practices across the entire industry. And I think that this kind of work, if it was modified, could go well beyond nursing homes and residential care facilities and into other institutions as well.
Follow-up. Will you be doing a report at the close of this so that this information will be usable to other facilities that might not be a part of the study?
Chairwoman, Senator Carter, absolutely. Reports are required as part of the grant, so we would have a final report, and that would be provided and widely disseminated. But in addition to that, our intention would be that if we get the implementation grant, rather than simply handing it to an institution and say, here, go do good work, we would actually be providing through the implementation dollars technical assistance to get that done.
Thank you.
Senator Portman.
Thank you very much. As I recall, the proposal yesterday for the Patient Safety Corporation came with a very small request for general funds as well. $25,000, I think, was the request, although we also heard that the amount could be a lot smaller than that. Is it possible to use funding from this challenge grant for the Patient Safety Corporation efforts?
Chair Winters, Senator Gordley, I don't think we would be able to because, there are specific requirements for what we're going to be doing here. The numbers that were thrown around yesterday, $11,000 to $25,000, were for a state agency, actually my office, to be the ones that were validating that there was comprehensive reviews of the issues done, that there were root cause analyses being done, and that there was actual follow-up in the way of corrective actions. And so those activities that would require some financial support, I see falling outside of this grant, so I don't think that we could.
Thank you, Madam Chair. But again, this grant is intended to help reduce medical errors in healthcare settings and improve patient safety. I'm reading that directly from the letter from your department. So again, I would just like to have a clearer understanding of where the alignment might be between this grant application and the work through the grant and the Patient Safety Corporation.
And Chairwoman, Senator Gordley, I see the work being very similar. And as I just mentioned, if we had a corporation in place, I could see placing a project like this in there. I mean, that to me seems to make a total sense. But there are these discrete functions, and at least the way we had written the grant, it was to do this one project around developing the models to prevent medication errors, rather than the generalized work on the reporting system, which would cost money in the bill that was discussed yesterday. We try to be creative and flexible with how we fund things. We also have to be very careful that we don't go outside of what the grant funders are funding us for at the risk of losing those dollars.
Right. And one last question, Madam Chair. Is it possible that in the future the Patient Safety Corporation could take on the grant, make that transitional role?
Chairwoman, Senator Gordley, I absolutely would think that would be possible.
Thank you.
Grant, was the Oregon Healthcare Association, were they also a part of the discussion with the Patient Safety Corporation?
Chair Winters, they were. And actually, they were very, very interested in this project. Originally, when we started that, we thought we'd have limited interest in it, and a number of agencies, including the Healthcare Association, stepped up and said we wanted to be a part.
I find it rather frightening if I look at these national numbers that on average, 350,000 adverse drug events occur each year, and 20% of them are fatal or life-threatening. I, would think that that's the need for having some kind of programs to prevent these kinds of occurrences across this country, not just in Oregon, is of real value.
Chair Winters, I would totally agree. Yesterday, Scott, just to qualify, though, yesterday Scott Gallant said, you know, there is some controversy around these dollars. I don't want to say that, yes, it is this big a problem, and yes, we can be saving hundreds of thousands of lives, but clearly there are a number of errors, and a number of those errors are preventable, and I think it would be doing a great service to the people of Oregon to have a program like this.
Grant, you mentioned in the letter, for example, that the Parkland Medical Center in Dallas, Texas, had reduced the risk of wrong medication given to wrong patients in wrong dosage area by at least 90%. Do you know what that 90% number was of? Was it 200, 300, or what was the universe?
And Chair Winters, I don't have that with me. I can get that to you. But my guess is it would be a substantial amount, because that's a huge, huge medical center there in Texas.
How long have they been implementing the probability risk assessment?
Again, Chair Winters, I'd have to get that information back to you. But this is a project that can be accomplished in a, you know, 2 to 3 year timeline.
Okay. Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What kind of staffing requirements would you envision with this grant request?
Chair Winters and Senator Morris, we don't see any actual staff that would be hired at the state level. Some of the people in my office, including myself, would contribute some of our time to work on it. But the bulk of the funds that come in would be going to two main contracts. There's a group that has been doing a lot of this work already that we would be very interested in seeing if we can contract with them. It would be bringing a team of people up to come in and do a lot of work, and then we have another contractor who we've used the past year on other patient safety issues that we would very much like to be able to use again to help with this project. So it would be contracts rather than staff, and we see one person working about 50% of the time on a contract, and then to bring in that team.
Thank you.
What's the duration of the grant? What's the grant period?
Chair Winters, it's 1 year at the $200,000 level, and then up to $500,000 per year for subsequent years. And there would be a possibility of having it be more than 1 year. I think it very likely would be a couple of years to get this disseminated throughout the industry.
Is your grant start date October 1st, or what's the date of starting the grant activity?
Yeah, Chair Winters, my understanding it would be October 1 with the regular federal year cycle.
Okay. Mr. Naughton.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, George Naughton with the Department of Administrative Services, we recommend that you approve this request.
Cindy.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, LFO recommends approval of this request with the understanding that the agency will come back to the emergency board for any additional expenditure limitation.
Representative Smith.
Yes, Madam. I move the committee approve the submission of a federal grant application.
I did work session.
Approve submission of a federal grant application to the Department of Health and Human Services for a safe practices implementation challenge grant of $200,000 the first year, with subsequent continuation grants up to $500,000 per year to reduce the occurrence of injuries that result from medical errors.
Representative Smith moves that we send to full Ways and Means approval to apply for the grant of $200,000 to help reduce medical errors in healthcare settings and improve patient safety from the Department of Health and Human Services, with the understanding that the agency will return to the E-Board to receive expenditure limitation and any position authority. Are there any objections? Hearing none, approved.
I'd be happy to carry.
I think that's our business for today.
We need another carrier.
Oh, on the okay. And with that, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow.